down and distance. Down and distance. Down and distance. On WGNRadio.com.
Too bad you can't get famous just for telling stories on podcasts.
It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
It's the future.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to Down and Distance here on WGNRadio.com. Jared Payton alongside my man Ernie Skett and Shy Voiceman on Twitter. I'm at Payton Sun, PaytonSun. We're going to try something new today, a new game, a new segment, because I do want to argue a little bit with my brother from another mother, Ernie Skett. I might just pick one of these and just go left just because he goes right. That's just how we do it. But we're gonna kind of mix it up a little bit. New game called Take It or Leave It. We'll go out to the phone lines as well, take some phone calls from Chicago sports fans, and we'll figure out if they're going to take it or if they're going to leave it. First up, though, is ranking Chicago Bears' 10 most important contributors in 2017, an article that was put out on Bleacher Report. And only four offensive guys on this list. At number 10, you have Kevin White. Number 9, you have Cody Whitehair, offensive lineman. I know, big deal, but still, when we talk about playmakers. Jonathan Bullard at number 8. Number 7, Quentin Demps. Then at number 6, Kyle Fuller. I don't even know how he made the list. I don't even think he might even make this team. I don't know how that's even possible. Eddie Goldman at number 5. At number 4, Charles Leonard Jr. Then at number 3, the man himself, Jordan Howard. Oh, love seeing him in that Pro Bowl uniform. He's going to be there again. Number 2, Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky at number 2. And then at number 1, Leonard Floyd coming at number 1. When you look at it, number 2, you have Mike Glennon and Mitchell Trubisky. One of those guys probably is not going to be playing, but we got a little take it or leave it with his name in there as well. Jordan Howard on that list. I think he should be at least number 2, if not number 1. But when you have number 10 sitting there, that's Kevin White. I think the biggest issue with a lot of people with Kevin White is, can he stay healthy enough to be able to make plays in 2017? Something that we haven't seen so far in the past 2 years as a Chicago Bear for him. But we have our man Mike on the line right now. Big Bears fan, also bigger Bulls fan. We'll get into the Bulls with him in a second. But Mike, take it or leave it, the Bears' top playmaker in 2017 will be Kevin White.
Oh, leave it right there. He's pretty much the poster boy for this management team that we want to trust, but nobody can right now. You know, you think, I mean, outside of the injury right there, you know, that hasn't been able to stay healthy. Can he stay on the field? That'd be great. But when he was on the field last year, he was not even making any plays. I think he had one game where he went over 100 yards. He didn't look fast. You know, you watch a first-round pick, you watch like a Will Fuller, you see this guy's blazing down the field. You look at Kevin White, they're supposed to have run the same 40, and it's just like it's not even close. I do not feel good about Kevin White. I would pass on that. I'd put Marcus Wheaton ahead of him. I'd put Victor Cruz ahead of him right now.
Easy.
That is easy. I mean, when you start to think about it, it's hard. It's hard to even say that. But it's a question that I wanted to pose out there to people just because you never know what can happen. But still, for a guy that has not seen the football field over 2 years for that much, I mean, 4 games, it's not a lot. And you can't put a lot of faith in a guy that you haven't really seen be able to do it on the biggest level and the biggest stage. So I'm with you. I'm leaving it. As much as I would love to keep it, I mean, I hope that in the long run after 2017, I'm looking at Kevin White with over 1,000 yards and about 8 or 9 touchdowns. I'll take that. I'll take that from Kevin White.
Can I take it on he's not going to be the best offensive player for the Bears, but can I take it that he's going to be a key integral part of the Bears offense?
That's not the question. The question is who's going to be the Bears top playmaker in 2017?
I have to leave it because of Jordan Howard, but he's going to be second. I'm on Kevin White's bandwagon.
I'm not hating you for being on his bandwagon. I think it's perfect, but I mean, let's be realistic.
I have to leave it because Jordan Howard is going. Listen, you're right.
Stop being the fan and get behind the mic. You're behind the mic now. You're not sitting at home chilling.
Then I have to leave it.
All right, you got to leave it. All three of us are going to leave it. All right, Mike, take it or leave it. Mitch Trubisky will be the starter by the end of the season.
Oh, man. I'd say take that one right there, even though I actually think Glennon will be better than a lot of people think. but we'll be a team that won't be winning many games, and it'll just be the pining for it at the end, and eventually Glennon will have a bad game or two, and Trubisky will take the reins at the end.
All right, I'm taking it.
I'm taking it before the end of the season. I believe Mitch Trubisky will take that starting role at some point.
You talking about before
the end of the season?
I know.
Game seven, eight-ish, somewhere around there.
Oh, so you're talking about before the halfway mark?
Before the halfway mark, I believe Mitch Trubisky
If that happens, then this team is going to be a dumpster fire on wheels.
Why? What did Carson Wentz do last year? They have virtually the same college stats.
Yeah, it's not the same college stats. It was a guy that when you look at his production, man, he had a lot more production in college Don't look at the numbers. You're looking at one year. That's 1 year.
So if they have the same numbers and he had 3 years of playing, that means he was garbage those first couple years or he didn't get a lot of playing time.
No. This dude, first of all, Mitch Trubisky almost didn't start. He almost didn't get the chance to start, bro.
Why?
Because he got beat. He almost got beat out. First, he did get beat out first when he was there the year before.
And then
he got a chance to be the starter the last year. So it wasn't like he was the man coming in, highly touted. Oh, this is going to be the future. Nah, this dude lucked into the situation. I'm not taking anything away from him.
I always go back to the Carson Wentz. Who was he in college?
Well, we got to see where he went to college. He didn't go to
South Dakota. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
South Dakota State. It's not like it was an SEC team.
Most people would look at that and go, this guy is going to be garbage. And he ended up coming in and playing well. He's going to develop. For a guy in Trubisky, he has the ability. It's going to take time. But
I don't believe that.
It's hard to compare both of those two guys, man.
What if Trubisky's built for the pros? What if he's built for the pros and this is where he excels?
I am not saying that he can't, Ernie. It's just a fact of that I know for sure he has to be able to learn this Bears offense and understand from being under center sometimes. Almost 98% of his plays in college were out of the shotgun. That just doesn't cut it. So he has to be able to find a way, Ernie, to understand the NFL game. Mike, am I wrong?
You're definitely not wrong. My fear, and guys, I'll tell you what, I feel like it would be so Bears for this to happen where Glennon has a great year, okay? Mm-hmm. And we might find a guy that might be our quarterback for the first time in my life, and all of a sudden we push him out to bring Trubisky in. I mean, and then Trubisky doesn't end up doing anything, and we have to remove Glennon or something like that. It would just be the ultimate irony of all this right now. That's why I hope he doesn't play this year for the fact that I don't want him inserted in there to take the spot if he doesn't deserve it off the bat. Like, I don't need fans like pushing for it if Glennon's playing well. Like, let him sit the entire year if that's the case, and then have that problem again next year.
I just don't believe in Glennon. I'm not a big Glennon fan.
I'm lukewarm.
Yeah, I'm not. There's not a huge body of work behind him, and the body of work wasn't great. So I'm just not a huge Glennon fan. So my argument is, why can't Trubisky take that spot? If he's capable, why can't he?
I mean, if he's capable, he understands the offense, but I don't know if you want to do it too soon. Like, he is supposed to be the future. I would love to see him get in. And everybody talks about quarterbacks coming in, failing early. But you see, we've seen a large number of guys that come in early, try to play, and then next thing you know, they're not the same after of having rough years. Not everybody is a Peyton Manning or, you know, guys that can kind of beat the odds or have the mental state where they can kind of block those things out. It's funny because I was just looking at the documentary, the 30 for 30 on Ryan Leaf, and just how early on in his career, how all that stuff with the pressures and all that stuff drove him basically because he couldn't sleep at night because everybody calling on the bus and the expectations. In this town, Mitchell Trubisky is going to be looked at, like it or not, as the savior. And he hasn't even played a down yet. They're looking for him to the future. It would scare me for him to play this season. If it wasn't like maybe the last maybe three games he started, I'd be fine with that. Other than that, I don't want to see him play in 2017. I just don't want to see him play. I want to see him get as many mental reps and understand his offense before he gets in, Ernie. Because
what if he gets it? What if he's – because in all, from what everyone says, he's extremely smart. Ryan Leaf was just a dumb dude. He was just a dumb pothead. He was a dumb pothead.
Listen, if ifs were a fifth, man, we'd all be drunk, man.
Hey, maybe we're drinking.
Man, I don't know. Listen, man, we moving on, man. We moving on. All right, listen. Take it or leave it, Mike. The Bulls will be better off moving forward without Jimmy Butler in the long run.
Take it right there. I mean, that one is pretty simple. I felt pretty good about it at the trade. I didn't love the trade at first, but as some of this has gone on, by default, the Bulls might have struck gold here. You got the crazy, silly money being dished out by these GMs right now. We see it every year, but never like this. Bulls weren't winning a title in the next 2 to 3 years with the Warriors and LeBron and their final runs of this. So while the rebuild is restarting, you gain some young core pieces. Like I said, didn't look great at first, but then you see what Indiana gets for Paul George, and you get like, yeah, okay, maybe that was a great haul for Jimmy right there. But in 3 years, when you're ready to go for it again, the Bulls may be, like I said, they may have stumbled into this. They might be one of 3 to 4 teams with money to go out and find a free agent. And you can say all you want about a bad culture, and I totally agree. Totally agree. But ultimately, money is 98% of what matters when it comes to free agency. As soon as Chris Paul was dealt, everybody assumed Blake would leave too, but he wasn't passing up that money right there. We live in a world where a career 9 point per game, 4 rebound, 1 assist guy, and Otto Porter just got a max deal. Otto Porter. And on top of that, what it really came down to was just one question. In 2 years, when Jimmy Butler was age 30, were you willing to give Jimmy Butler $40 million a year for 5 to 6 years? I wasn't. And looking at it from that standpoint, how could you not understand the trade and the rebuild? Do I trust this management team to run it? But do I think it was the right move and the right time? And did we just luck into something a little bit? Yes, I do. So I would take that in a heartbeat.
All right, I'm going to take it as well. I mean, it's hard because you keep Jimmy here, and the likelihood of having to pay him 200 some million and not being able to attract free agents, even with Jimmy here, it was an issue. I think you had to be able to get rid of him, move forward with this young talent. And it seems like that this organization really truly loves Fred Hoiberg and want him to be around. And they believe he's the guy, whether it's just his guy. But the thing is that you just weren't going to get anything. Even with Jimmy Butler, you were bounced in the first round of the playoffs. All right. So if Jimmy is that guy that everybody says he is, and you can fight and take it or leave it that he's a top 15 player or not. I've heard people say that he is. People say that he's not. Listen, he's a damn good basketball player, and he got better.
He is hands down.
Hands down, he will help out a team. What he's going to help in Minnesota is I can't even put words on it because now he's coming in, and I think he kind of saw how he left here in Chicago. Like it or not, if he's going to admit it or not, I think he knew what he had become with his stardom that started to rise. Like as the franchise here in Chicago started to morph around him, get away from Derrick Rose. And I think he saw last year with everything that went on with him and D-Wade and Rondo and the social media wars that were going back and forth, that how he has to be able to handle young players. And I believe that hopefully he learns that, and he learned it here in Chicago. He'll go to Minnesota and be able to mentor that young team because, they got something special going on, man. Like, I'm looking forward to what Taj is a part of the group now, too.
Oh, absolutely.
What? I was waiting for D. Rose to come in and just facilitate. I was like,
he'll be there. He'll be there. Come on. They'll get him there.
I think
at some
today
point.
He's going. I think he's meeting with the Clippers today, if I'm not mistaken. So
he'll wind up in Minnesota. It'll be Chicago East.
He never really
or Chicago Northwest, kind of ish.
Hey, man, you gotta take it or leave it. Hey, Mike, man, appreciate you, bro.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, Ernie. Thanks, Jerry. We'll
thanks, Mike.
All right, Dizzle, I need to ask you a couple of questions. SD2 Mike's on Twitter. Bleacher Report ranked Chicago Bears' top 10 most important contributors in 2017. 4 offensive players made that list for the Bears. 2 of those are offensive linemen, and the other 2 offensive guys are Kevin White and Jordan Howard. Now, I know how you feel about Jordan Howard, and I think I know how you feel about Kevin White, so take it or leave it. The Bears' top playmaker in 2017 will be Kevin White.
Leave it.
All right. Well,
did you giggle? Did you giggle a little? Did
I mean,
you
I don't. I'm not upset with him to giggle, dude. That's his.
I mean, you have to understand that this team. You really go back and look at Jordan Howard and what he was able to accomplish. I mean, this guy was not even getting big time reps in training camp. He continued to practice hard. Langford was supposed to be the guy. They had this new running system, the stretch system that you are familiar with, he being in Tennessee. And we saw him against the Patriots make a couple of touchdown runs. And we said, okay, this guy might break out. And then all of a sudden, 3-4 games into the season, here's this rookie that just comes in and just throwing up hundos all over the place each and every week against good defenses. And you have to, man, he has to be the bell cow. He has to be the bell cow for this offense, especially at the quarterback position with Mike Glennon and Trubisky. No matter who's going to be taking snaps, the running game has to be dominant, especially with two of the top offensive players being offensive linemen.
I mean, that's pretty much the issue. So, okay, take it or leave it then. Jordan Howard will be the NFL's leading rusher at the end of the season.
I'm going to double down. Leave it. You know, it's Zeke all day. Yes.
You say that just because you're a Cowboy fan?
No.
Absolutely. I'm being totally biased right now. But, I mean, you have to look at it once again. Look at that offensive line. But I'm very interested, man, because maybe not this year, but in years to come, I want to see how Jerry Jones and his organization handles kind of what we saw in Seattle with a young quarterback that rides the coattail of a running back and a strong offensive line and a strong running game. And once he's allowed to mature, does the organization place him above that running back and running game? You know, does Dak elevate himself or become elevated above Zeke in another year or two? Does it happen this year? Does it happen next year? Does it cause friction in the organization? Does it cause friction in the locker room? It's just an interesting thing to watch and observe. But for right now, I'm going to go with Zeke as the leading rusher in the National Football League. Right behind him, I probably would go Le'Veon Bell before I would go Jordan Howard. But Jordan Howard would definitely be in the top five.
So this is hard for me because I do want to believe it, but I understand that after, you know, a tough year, do I believe that he can do it? Yeah, I believe that he can do it. But there's a lot of other issues. I mean, those issues were kind of still there last season as well. I think he'll be in the top six. And to okay. me, and listen, to me, that's good. That's good after being number two in the league. I'll take being in that top six, right? And when right. you look at some of those other guys you mentioned, Le'Veon Bell, and we know Zeke's going to be at that top as well, and guys that are only guys that are in your top five or top six are guys that are durable. And that's a one thing about Jordan Howard that I know it's only been one season, but you watch the way that he runs the football, and, man, he doesn't take big hits. He's giving out those hits, and that also gives you a little bit more life as the season goes on. People always go, what are you talking about? Yeah, when you take hits, you taking blows, man, it's like being a boxer. You'd rather be given those blows. Yeah, you get tired a little bit, but you feel a lot better at the end when your face is not marked up and the other guy's got to wear sunglasses and sip out of a straw for a week. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So right. I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to take it. I would love for that to happen. I still would think that this team maybe gets 6 wins. Maybe. If they're lucky, 7. If they're able to scrape it out, but man, I don't want him taking all this punishment, going crazy when his team is still kind of trying to build. So I'm actually going to leave it. Ernie, I need your take.
I got to leave it as well. I don't see this team winning more than 4 games.
Dang, 4?
And I think he's going to absorb some punishment this year because of that fact. The best thing that the Bears can hope happen is that Cody Whitehair continues on that ascent and that line gels, because I think they have those front three. The yeah. two guards in the center, I think right there you have the beginning of something special. I still don't believe in Charles Leno. I don't know. I know you guys know more than me. I know these people know more than me. But from the eye test, the smell test, he stinks. I'm not huge on their tackles, and I think they need help there. But he runs well between the tackles. So okay. I think that he can survive. But I think he's going to take some punishment this year. So.
All right, man.
Gotta leave it.
You know, in the NFL, tackles are like top five NBA players. It's real hard to find. Oh. Hey, I got one for you guys before I go.
Okay, go ahead.
Take it or leave it. Mitch Trubisky,
should be involved with an open quarterback competition heading into Bourbon Day.
Take it. Take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. I don't know why he shouldn't be. Let this man, let him spin. You want to win? Let Booby spin. Coach, put me in. You know what I mean? Like, let him spin. You never know. He may be, he just may be special.
Listen, I'm...
Ernie has been to the sideline hiding Glennon's helmet.
hey. Sean, listen, man.
What helmet? Helmet? Listen, what helmet?
I'm going to... This is going to kill me to do this. I'm going to leave it, all right? I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it in the case that I really, really think that this young man needs some time to develop, man, just from what I've seen. I just think he needs time, and I don't know if training camp and the preseason is going to give him enough time, and I'm going to say leave it. And I'm cool with the open competition, though. Sean, I don't think he's ready right now. I don't think he's going to be ready. And does he need to have those trials and tribulations and get knocked down and have some issues? Yeah, I'm cool with that. But we've seen when it comes to franchise quarterbacks or guys that are labeled, and if they're not ready, sometimes
they get ruined.
They get ruined, and it scares me. It scares me, and I don't know if that's the fan talking. Yeah, it is. It's the fan inside me, man. This is not the guy behind the mic. This is the fan talking. I'm sorry. I can't break it down and say that this is the analyst talking. No, this is the fan talking. As a fan, yeah, I really don't want to see him in 2017. You know, I'm hoping that Mike Glennon can hold the fort down, this team do what they need to do. But we talked to a guy, Mike, who was on with us just a minute ago, and he said – eventually it's going to happen. Like he could come out in, you know, week in the last four games of the season and start. I mean, that could happen. And if that happens, as a fan, I'm going to have to be okay with it.
So if you're down there covering camp and Trubisky is moving the ball in wheel against that defense, you still just.
Yeah. Listen, things can change. If I see something for what I've seen so far, he's not ready. But if he's down there moving the ball, and he's got control of this Bears offense, and I see it in games as well. Like, I see it in preseason games. Yeah, I'll change my mind. But for right now, from what I've seen, dude, he still has work to do, man. Like, he's got some work to do. He's got the skills. He's got the ability to be able to do it. I just don't think he's ready at this time right now. And I think this would crush this organization.
Yeah, you can't ruin them.
Sean, I'm talking about it would crush this organization, dude. They are all in on this dude. Man. Like, all in. I don't know if I've seen it before like this. Like, since I've been covering, I haven't seen anything like this. They are all in, and all the bags are on the car waiting for this dude to be able to take over. So, I mean, if he shows me something in camp and preseason – I'll change that. I'll take it. But for right now, for his sake, I want to leave it so I can watch him develop. And that's what I need to do. I need to see him develop as a quarterback. And we had this conversation, Sean, about Carson Wentz and other guys that come in that are ready. You know, every man's different. You know, their experiences from college are different. How they handle adversity is different. You know, like, I mean, we're all so different. It's like having a kid. You know, each kid is so different. Like, my son is so different than my daughter. Like, what makes them tick is just different. And I just don't know if he's ready yet. And I'm hoping, I think in the long run, it'd be the best for him. But, Sean, man, appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Time to talk some hockey now. I want to get your perspective on the Blackhawks. Take it or leave it. The window is closing.
I'd take it. The window is closing.
You are?
It is. If it's not already closed. I mean, I love that they're putting the band back together. You know, you're bringing in the old guys, Patrick Sharp, although I don't know how that works with Duncan Keith. And wasn't there the whole thing that Patrick Sharp and Duncan Keith's wife? Whatever, neither here nor there. I just think that you've gotten eight, nine, 10 years out of these guys. They've played a ton of hockey over that time. Your core, your stars, Duncan Keith, Taves, Kane, these guys, Seabrook, these guys have played virtually all year every year. Because when they're done with the regular season, they then go to the playoffs. When they're done with the playoffs, they're playing for their country. They're playing in the Olympics. They're playing in these tournaments. And I just think that they're getting old. I mean, it was the thing with Hossa. He's all of a sudden allergic to his equipment. I don't know if the Hawks made him allergic to his equipment so they can get some money relief. But we're so far over the cap. We're so maxed out, and you're now starting to bring in the older guys. You're bringing them back because these guys will take the contracts to play in the city that they love, and they do want back in. But is Patrick Sharp over the top? Is he over the, you know, over the hill? Is he really going to help you? I love the Saad. I love Saad coming back. You lose Panarin, but I love Saad coming back.
Hey, guess what? You're crazy. You know that? You're crazy.
Got to admit it.
I love the fact that you're coming off strong. Like I love it. Like the passion that you had right there. Black guys talking hockey.
You're right, right. Two black guys talking hockey.
Like, that is like that never happens.
Never.
There has to be a podcast out there that is strictly two black guys talking hockey. And if there is,
what would you name it?
I have no
black
clue.
Black guys on hockey. Black
I got
hockey.
I got it. Black Ice.
Black Ice? Oh, Black Ice. The new podcast. The Blackhawks new podcast. Black Ice.
That is it. We need to find a sponsor for it, like, right now.
Right now. It would have to be. Isn't there, like, Blake Ice, Natty Ice?
Well, I don't know if they'll let us
Natty
do that.
Ice.
Let me tell you this. I'm going to disagree with you, my brother.
Okay.
I respect your opinion. I still believe that the window is still open for this team because of this core. And I know we're talking about a core that's getting old, but you still have Patrick Kane, who, after an MVP season, had a solid regular season last year. He's only 28 years old. You got Jonathan Toews, 29 years old. I still believe that these guys can put it together. It's all about trying to fit the pieces around them to figure out, can they do it? And with this hard cap, it's been a tough deal. But yeah, you get away a guy, you move a guy like Panarin, but you get a guy, you move a guy like Panarin, but you get a guy like Saad back. I'll take Brandon Saad. As much as people love the bread man, like, much respect to him for what he did. And was it great to see him and Patrick Kane play together on that second line? Yes, it was. But you know what? In some ways, you're losing a guy in Panarin, and Patrick Kane will figure out a way, because anybody around him with skill is going to be better when they're
Absolutely.
Around him, right?
Absolutely.
But the one guy that was faltering just a little bit and having a tough time on that top line was Jonathan Toews. So now you get a guy like Brandon Saad who
right.
makes him feel comfortable again.
His best years with Saad.
Yes. So now I feel like they're going to be – they'll have some little bit more of a connection back. I still believe that the window is still open, man. I really do. And I don't know how long it's open for, but I still think it's open. I really do. This team was the best in the West when you looked at them last year. And, they had some hard times.
They fell asleep and just stopped playing.
Maybe they got exposed just a little bit. But you can't tell me that a finesse team like this Blackhawks squad can't get back and win a cup when we just saw back-to-back years with the Penguins. And they're a finesse squad with aging stars as well.
True, they are the blueprint of the Hawks almost. I guess you're bringing back a little bit of some angst and some, I guess, red ass with Saad coming back. I like that. I like it. I like that move a lot. Panarin was very good, but was not a tough guy. And with him and you would see that line just get abused at times. Yeah, they could outskate anyone. And they could put it on goal, but you would see at times guys just get knocked 8 feet off of their skates and just crushed, and there was nothing you could do. We weren't. Nashville took it to us. Nashville took it to us. At one point, I'll never forget this. It was, I believe, in game three in like the third period, and two Nashville guys come skating by the camera and they're talking. You know, like they're like, I don't know, we got to do this. Then you see Duncan Keith and Jonathan Toews come by, and they're on their knees. And they're bent over, and they're dog tired. And you can see it. The two Nashville guys just skated by like they're having a Sunday afternoon conversation. Yeah, dude, we got to get back and then block this. And those two came by. They weren't saying a word. Their heads were down. They were on their knees. They were tired. They need some rest. They need a break.
Hey, man, we'll just disagree. I'm cool with it, though.
We can disagree.
That's what I love. All right, take it or leave it. Landing Gordon Hayward vaults the Celtics into front runners in the East. Take it or leave it. You better not take this.
I got to leave it.
You can't. You can't.
Yeah.
LeBron, listen, this is simple. LeBron James is still with the Cavs. He's still in the East.
Yeah.
So it's got to go through LeBron still until I see something otherwise. All right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I have a hard time saying that. I love the fact we got Al Horford now. You got Isaiah Thomas. You got Gordon Hayward. And shout out to Hayward, though, for what he's become in the NBA. From a guy that I saw against Duke in the national championship, you know, almost win a game or that half-court shot, to what he's become in the NBA, hats off to him. He deserves that $120 million because I never saw it coming that this dude would be where he is right now in the NBA.
Is he not like the perfect Celtic guy? I like going Hayward Celtic. It just, if there was ever two things that were meant to meet, I just feel like Gordon Hayward to Boston was it. I like that team. I'm still not a huge, huge fan. No, they will not beat Cleveland. I'm not the biggest Isaiah Thomas fan in the world. I still think a small guy is small, no matter how you cut it. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, he's still a small guy. And, yeah, he can throw stuff up, and he can travel 18 times a game and take 4.5 steps to get that shot. But when it comes down to it and you throw some meat on him, he's still a small guy.
Oh, gosh. Every time you said small guy, your picture just, like, popped up into my head. I'm sorry. No, for real. It's just like, I was thinking of you, like, in the gym, like, taking a dude with, like, a Euro step, like, a Euro step and a headband. 4A, 5 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4.
They do. These guys take 5 and 6 steps now. Oh. They carry the ball. He is a notorious carrier of the ball.
Yeah, I mean.
And I get that it's legal now.
It is, yeah.
But good gosh, this guy, the carry that he, I don't know when it became legal to take 4.5 steps and to carry a ball. I don't know when it became legal to dribble over your shoulder. When I was young, and I hate to say it like I'm this old dude, but I can remember being called that. You dribbled over your shoulder, traveling. Like, what?
Yeah.
Allen Iverson transcended the NBA. He made an illegal move legal. The carry. The carry, and then the steps became legal because you let that carry go.
Yeah, but these dudes are perfected, and now it's different.
They have.
Totally different.
It's so hard to call it.
Now, we're going to switch to some baseball because we got to get into this topic. We're not going to talk about your Southsiders. They're in rebuild mode. But you know what? Watched them yesterday. They don't give up. So
they don't.
They're not quitters. I respect them so much. I respect Renteria and what he's doing with that young group and those guys as they figure this thing out and rebuild. I really do. I had a first time yesterday watching a full White Sox game. Well,
you know, Ricky Renteria would still be the Cubs manager if Joe Maddon had never opted out.
I know.
He was not going anywhere. He's good for what they're doing. He's good for a rebuild. He's good for that team, and he's got them fighting and going in the right direction.
Okay.
I love it.
So listen, the Cubs are going to turn things around after the All-Star break. Take it or leave it.
Leave it.
Wow.
I think their pitching just is not great right now. And when you're not putting up the consistent offense that you did last year and the consistency that you had last year, that pitching has to take over and they can't.
I have a hard time with this one. I really do.
Can I say one thing real quick? Yeah. I'm not saying that the Cubs window is closed or that they won't be able to turn this around with maybe one pitching.
No, we're talking about this season,
I got to leave it.
It's hard. Because my dad would always say, like, you could dress up a pig, but it's still a pig, right? Lipstick on the pig. It's
Brent
still
Barry
a pig.
Said it.
Yo, and right now, when I watch this team, they're average.
They're average. They are. They're an average team.
They're average team.
Because of their pitching.
With some great players, but they're average. And so it's hard to say that offensively that this team is going to be in not hit the way that they should or drive runs in like they should, get men on base like they should. Like, all these things, I believe, can change. But on the other end, it comes down to making sure that pitching is – that's what was the – last year, you saw that. You were getting good outings from each guy, and it made it easier because defense was playing well, because that defense was kind of – they were living off that moment of the pitching staff or their starters, right?
Yeah, so important.
And now we're not seeing that, and this is hard for me to do, man, but I'm going to have to leave it. I believe that they turn things around, but I don't know if they turn it around in the sense of where we saw them in 2016. Through 81 games last year, the Cubs had 54 quality starts.
That's kind of impressive.
ERA, 1.62. Compared to this year, the Cubs have had 32 quality starts in 81 games.
it's cut in half. I mean, and that's going to be your explanation to the record that they have and the mediocrity that they're mired in. I mean, because they're stuck.
It's stuck.
They need that stud feature. And
I don't know if Justin Verlander is the
He's
the savior.
I can't go that old.
No, like that's not what you're going to get.
I can't do it. And with those power pitchers, after 7, 8, 9, 10 years of that power pitching, they're not power pitchers anymore.
You know who I like? You know, I want a young dude.
I should want
like a Chris Archer from
Cleveland,
like, right?
But how do they never give that up? They should have went after Sale. It was, and I know they didn't want to give up Schwarber. That's probably what it would have cost somewhere on the line. But where's Schwarber now?
Take it or leave it. The White Sox will win a World Series before the Cubs do again.
Ah! All right. Okay. Fanboy in me says White Sox all day.
Yes.
All day long. Yeah. White dogs for life. But the non-fanboy and the sports guy in me says the Cubs are in an open window right now. Their window is probably going to be about 4 years, 5 years, depending on their pitching, what they do with the pitching. But I got to believe they're going to go out and get some pitching. So I have to go with the Cubs winning a World Series before the White Sox do. But the White Sox will be coming. I mean, they're coming. They are coming. And I would love more than anything for them to win a World Series in the next 5, 6 years, but I know it won't happen.
Simple for me. I'm going to leave it. Sorry. I mean, I love the fact and see what's going on the South Side, but it's going to take some time. And I just think that the window for this Cubs team is still open. So until further notice, yeah, we're leaving it. All right, that was it. That was Take It or Leave It today here on Down
the
Distance.
I like Take It or Leave It. I take it.
At DAD Pod on Twitter. Let us know what you think about some of the stuff we were talking about. We want to get your take on it. Hashtag Take It or Leave It.
And give us some Take It or Leave It.
Yeah, send us some. We want to get some. Send us some and we'll have them on. But also, every single week, we're going to get people to be able to call in like we have people today of calling in. And you get a chance to voice your opinion or take it or leave it about stuff that's going on here in Chicago in sports. For Ernie Skadden, my man, Shy Voice Man on Twitter, I'm at Peyton Sun, PAYTONSUN on Twitter. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk some sports with our people here in Chicago. We love you guys. As always, we were here. Now we're gone. Peace.
Peace.